Psalm 10, unlike many of those that surround it, has no title. It's not described as being a Psalm of David, and there is no instruction. But it is broken in its 18 verses very much into three sections. It opens in verse 1 with a cry in trouble. There follows 10 verses describing the wicked and the enemies of God. And then from verse 12 to the end, in the last 7 verses, there is a cry of prayer and of faith, ultimately in God's salvation. The psalmist opens, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it." And the psalmist goes on in the last 7 verses, "Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Yet thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare thy heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. To judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" So opens the psalm. What a cry. What a cry that you and I may have cried. This is the cry of the child of God. Many times. Many times when he's surrounded by trouble. When he feels the iniquity. And the sin. And the darkness of this world. The loneliness. Of his pilgrimage through this world. When he sees the rise of sin. All around. when he looks upon the nation and the nations and sees how the wicked rise to power and how the voice of the wicked has the ears of the people and how the hearts of the people are stirred to run after wickedness and to despise the things of God and to despise Jesus Christ and to despise his salvation. When he sees the darkness and the evil all around, and when he feels that darkness and that evil and that unbelief and that rejection and that scorn in his own heart, and when he feels that the Lord is at a distance, and he looks within at his own sin and feels that he is the cause, then he cries out. He cries out to his God, for he can cry to none other. He cries out to his God, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? I'm alone, my God. I'm alone in a world of sinners. I'm alone amongst mine enemies. And I feel my own sin. Is that the cause, my God? Hast thou removed thyself, O Lord, because of what I am, what I've done, because of my sin? O Lord, have mercy on me. Don't withdraw. Don't abandon me. Don't leave me. I have no strength of mine own, myself. I have no strength in myself. I have no ability. I have no righteousness of my own. How can I stand except thou dost show me mercy? O Lord, remember me. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" Have you cried that way? Have you felt like that? Have you been in that place? Do you feel surrounded, engulfed, enveloped, overwhelmed by the wicked? And does your faith, that weak faith, that spark of faith, that little faith within, does your faith, though it should cry out to God, though it knows its only hope is in God and his salvation, does your faith feel enveloped by the flesh all around and by the sin and the desires of the flesh and the motives and the movements and the actions of the flesh? Do you feel stained by your own sin? Do you feel at times like your corruption has set God at a distance? Do you feel like you've gone too far? You've said too much. You've done the unforgivable. And God has removed. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The psalmist goes on in the next 10 verses to describe the wicked. And in a sense, this is a description of the wicked in this world, whom he looks out upon, his enemies, the haters of God, those who hate his God and hate him because of his love for God. In one sense, this is what he observes in the world all around him. But in another sense, it's what he sees within. It's not just them. It's me. It's not really them. It's all me. I am the wicked. And he knows what the wicked is like. Because every action, every thought, every deed, and every motive of the wicked, he sees in his own natural heart. And he knows that God would be just to stand afar off. And God would be just to hide from him in times of trouble. And he knows that God would be just to judge that sin within and cast him off forever. And he knows that his only hope is for God to have mercy upon him. So he goes on to describe the wicked. And as we read this description of the wicked, I want you to read it, as with the psalmist, not just as a description of the wicked that you might see in this world, but as a description of you, and as a description of me, and as a description of the old man of sin within. Because every deed and every thought and every action described here is in us all. All have gone astray. All have sinned. There is none righteous. No, not one. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. How proud our wicked hearts are by nature. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. And God is not in all his thoughts. Or as the margin says, alternatively translated, all his thoughts are that there is no God. Not only is God not in his thoughts, but when he does think, if ever there is a mention of God, it is that there is no God. He lives and acts and thinks as though there is no God. That's the thought of his heart. He says in his heart, as Psalm 14 tells us, there is no God. And you and I by nature have a heart that lives like there is no God. We don't care for him. We don't think of him. We don't seek him. The world this day, in its religion, will speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the natural man, religious or otherwise, cares nothing for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and cares nothing for the God who sent his own Son into this world to lay down his life for sinners. He says, I have no need of him, because of the pride and the boasting of his own heart. God is not in his thoughts. The wicked's ways are always grievous, and God's judgments are far above out of his sight. He lives and acts like there is no God, so he lives and acts like he's not accountable for anything he does. So everything you do every day, you think you get away with it. because God appears to be stood afar off. And there appears to be a freedom which you have to indulge your own heart's desire and to indulge your deceitful ways and to indulge your lusts and to indulge your pride. And God never seems to stop you. So God's judgments are just not in your heart and in your mind. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. So proud are we by nature that because God doesn't bring us low, we think we're invincible. And if we can tread all over God and his gospel, we think we can tread all over our enemies. The wicked have said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. No trouble shall come my way, I shall be fine. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. You may say, well, that might be true of some, but I have never murdered. And yet every day that you care not for God, and every day that you turn your back on his Son, Jesus Christ, is a day when you, in your heart, have put the Son of God to death. A day when your wicked heart has said of Jesus Christ, away with him. He shall not reign over me. A day when your heart has said of Jesus Christ, crucify him. A day in which your heart, in the secret place of your heart, has murdered the innocent. The secret places. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. No one can see what you're doing in your heart. But in your heart, because you care not for him, you put the innocent, Jesus Christ, to death on a daily basis. We are all guilty. We all have gone astray, and we all have set Jesus Christ at naught in our secret place of our secret heart. We have all murdered the innocent. The wicked lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. Oh, how evil the heart of man is. How he crushes those who are weaker than himself. He cares not for the innocent. He cares not for the poor. The natural man cares only for himself. The heart of man as he is in Adam. The heart of the flesh. Your heart and my heart cares only for self. And the poor we will crush and oppress. People talk of fighting like a man, of standing like a man, of being a man. Well, man by nature is anything but. He doesn't fight those who are his equal. He doesn't stand against those who are his equal. Man by nature will walk all over those who are weaker. Those who have no strength. He is merciless. He cares not. He seeks his own gain. He seeks his own way. And any who gets in that way, he will tread upon. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Because our natural heart lives and reigns in its domain as though there is no God, it causes us to live and to act and to think as though God does not see. God won't see. I'm immune. I'm free. I can do what I like. He's left me alone. He's not seeing. He's not caring. He doesn't exist. He's not there. I can do what I like. I will get away with it. But the fools of men that live and act in this way, and the foolishness of your own heart that lives and acts in this way, will lead you and lead them to destruction, because God does see. And God has simply left us alone for a moment. And our life is but a moment. And when we've gone through and indulged our every desire, and lived and acted as though there is no God, and aged from being a babe to a youth, to a young man, to an old man, till the day in which we pass through the grave, then we will stand before that God who we said has forgotten. And then we will discover that he forgot nothing. And that he saw everything. And that nothing was hid from his face. Then we will discover that all that we thought was reality was a lie. And all that we thought was to our gain was to our loss. And all that we thought was to our advantage will come to our destruction, because he will ask of us, why did you not worship me? Why did you not love me? Why did you not seek me? Why did you murder the innocent? Why in your heart did you put my son to death? Why did you ridicule and mock his gospel? Why did you turn your ears and your face away from the truth? Why, when I sent my witnesses to your door to say my son is risen, did you shut your ears? Why, when I declared unto you that I have given my son as a ransom for sinners, that he was crucified and bore the sins of his people, that he loved the people and gave himself for them, why did you shut your ears? And why did you mock and scoff? Why did you turn your face? He will ask. And you will have to find an answer, my friend. When you stand before him in but a few years' time for some, or a few months' time for others, or a few days' time, or a few hours' time for others yet, when you stand before him, you will need an answer. And the wicked, through the pride of his heart, has no one. Because he has said, there is no God. He's forgotten. He doesn't see. I can get away with it. And on that awful day, you will know that you've not got away with it. And that the moments of your life, though they seem so long as you live them out, when you look back, they're but a blink. And the enjoyment and the pleasure and the riches and the indulgence and the pride that you dwelt in has all gone. And here you are, stood on a day of reality, before Almighty God. And no more will you say, where is God? But he will say, why have you not worshipped my son? And he will send you away. Oh, the heart of the wicked. The evil. This is the psalmist's description. But it's not so much a description of other men. It's more of a description, as I've said, of his own natural heart. And believer, this is a description of your own natural heart. And unbeliever, this is a description of your heart. For we all have a heart like this, and we're all wicked like this, and we all think like this. And the believer, when the sin in his flesh rises up and causes him to act in pride and causes him to live as though God isn't there and causes him to crush the poor and to murder the innocent in his heart and to shout with anger at somebody that gets in his way and, as it were, puts them to death. When he falls in this way, he feels God at a distance. And he cries out in his time of trouble, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Have I caused it? Have I done it? Oh, have mercy upon me. Look not upon my wickedness. Wash me. Cleanse me. Take me to that place where there is blood in a fountain to wash and cleanse my sin. O Lord, lead me to the cross. Lead me to the Saviour. Lead me to my Saviour. Wash me of all my wicked ways. Cleanse me. Look not upon my sin. Look not upon my flesh. Look not upon me in Adam. Look upon me in Christ, O Lord, have mercy upon me for Christ's sake. Hide not thyself in my time of trouble. What does your heart say? Do you say there is no God? Are you full of pride, boastfulness, covetousness, greed, selfishness, hatred, anger, fretfulness, scorn? Is that your heart? Is that your heart? It's the description of the wicked, but it's the description of ourselves. And the psalmist knew his own heart. He knew this within. He felt the burden of it. And he knew that his hope was in God alone. He rises up in these last seven verses and cries out to his God, arise, O Lord, arise. O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it, yet thou hast seen it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Yes, the psalmist knows that God sees him as he is. He knows that it's foolish to condemn God, because he knows that God sees him inside and out. And he knows, as one who has nothing himself, as one who's poor, as one who has no righteousness by nature, as one who has no strength by nature, as one who has no riches that he can cling on to beyond this earthly world, as one who in truth has nothing, as one who's poor, he knows that his hope is not to be found in man. It's not to be found in the wickedness of this world, but it's found in God alone. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. O Lord, crush him. Crush this wickedness. Crush this evil. Crush him in me. Crush my wickedness. Break the arm of my old man, of my evil man. Seek out the wickedness within me until thou find none. Take it all away, Lord. Blot it out. Cleanse it in the blood. Judge me. Take away all my sin. Make me righteous. The Lord is King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, and the man of the earth may no more oppress. So he rises up in faith in his God. He knows that his God, the Lord, is King forever and ever. He knows that his wicked heart will be judged and destroyed. He knows that the wicked all around him will be judged and destroyed. He knows the heathen are perished. But that God is King forever and ever. And God hears the desire of the humble. He hears the cries of the poor. He prepares their heart. He will cause his ear to hear them, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed. He will hear them. And in judging the fatherless and the oppressed, in judging his people, he will judge them in the Son, in the Saviour. And he will say, their sins have I blotted out. Their sins are no more. Their old man is crucified. And in them I see no more iniquity. I see the righteousness of God. I have blotted out their iniquity. I have taken it away. I have washed their sins. I have cleansed them. I have renewed them. I have justified them. I have ransomed them from the grave. Oh, judge me, the psalmist says. Judge me in thy Son. That the man of the earth may no more oppress. Not so much the man of the earth outside of him. Not so much those who are his enemies. But the man of the earth within. The old man Adam. His flesh. Oh, he feels the flesh warring against the spirit. He feels the deadness of sin within his members. He feels the old man and his wicked ways. He feels the unbelief and the doubts and the fears. Oh Lord, may the man of the earth, this old man, no more oppress. Crucify him. And he knows that the Lord, who is King forever and ever, will judge the old man. Will judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. So we see the heart of the psalmist, who knows the wickedness of the man of the earth, the old man Adam, the flesh within. And he knows his hope is in God alone, the God who is King forever and ever. But through the cries of the psalmist, we see the cries of the Saviour. The cries of the Saviour, who came as the one man, the man of heaven, not the man of the earth, but the man of heaven. The man that came from heaven, that one man who is without sin. He came into this wicked world, made a man, made a little lower than the angels, taking humanity into union with his divinity. He came, born a man, born of Mary, born of the Virgin, a man without sin. And he walked amongst the wicked. And he felt the oppression. He felt the hatred. He felt the iniquity. He felt it all around him. He saw the wicked man all around him. But he came into the midst of the darkness because he loved a people chosen amongst that people. A people chosen before the world was ever created. He loved the people who by nature in Adam are wicked. He loved the people who by nature were men and women of the earth. And though they were wicked, though they hated God, though they said in their hearts there is no God, though they were full of pride and boasting and covetousness, though they put the innocent to death, he loved them. And he took their hatred. He took their scorn. And he bore it. And he endured it. Because he would deliver them from their sins. Though you by nature hated him, though you despised him, though every year when the world around spake of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you poured scorn upon it and laughed at it and mocked it, or treated it with apathy, or treated it with disdain, or said, what's it got to do with me? Though you treated Christ as nothing, if you are his, if he died for you, then he loved you when you hated. And he loved you when you rejected. And he loved you when your heart went everywhere except towards him. And he endured the wicked. And he went to a place called Golgotha, the place of a skull, where he was delivered up into the hands of the Romans, who took him and beat him and bruised him and put a crown of thorns upon his head and put a robe upon his back and mocked him and spat upon him. And the people mocked him and spat upon him, and they all cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And he staggered to the cross, trying to carry this great weight of the cross. He staggered to that place where the cross would be lifted up and where he would be nailed to it. And they took him and nailed him. Nailed him to the cross. With great nails through his arms, his hands, his wrists and his feet. And they lifted him up in the sun. And they left him to die. And the people all mocked and laughed. And you in your heart looked upon him and mocked and laughed and said, away with him. And he did it because he loved his own. And his own looked and laughed and mocked and put him out of their hearts. And he endured it because he loved his own. And his people, when others laughed, wouldn't dare to be identified with him. They stayed quiet. They went away. Because they didn't want to endure the rejection that he endured. And yet he loved his own. And when he was laid upon that cross and lifted up, a mysterious transaction took place. The man of the earth looked and beheld another man. Crucified upon a cross. you in your natural heart may look and see a historical figure crucified upon a cross. But when he was lifted up on that cross, God looked upon his son and said, "You are the sacrifice for the sins of my people." And his son went as a priest to a place of sacrifice. And his own son took himself and offered himself up unto God for the sin and the sins of his people. And God took the sword of justice and looked upon his son. And he took the sin of that people and made his son to be it. And he took the sins of that people and laid them upon him, and he bore them. And God took the sword of justice and struck him and pierced him through and poured down the fires of his wrath upon his own son. And his son endured because the people whose sins he bore, he loved. And he bore the sins of the wicked. The sins of the wicked. The sins of those who in pride persecute the poor. The sins of those who boast of their heart's desire. The sins of those who bless the covetousness that the Lord abhorreth. He bore the wicked's pride in his countenance and the wicked's rejection of God. He bore the wicked's grievous ways. He bore the wicked's puffing at their enemies and their arrogance and their hatred. He bore the wicked's mouth of cursing and deceit and fraud. He bore the wicked's mischief and vanity. He bore the wicked's lurking and hiding in secret places. He bore the wicked's murder of the innocent. He bore the wicked's hiding as a lion to devour the poor. He bore the wicked's unbelief. All this description of the wicked here in this psalm is a description of that evil which Christ bore. And when in Gethsemane's garden, Christ in turmoil called out to his Father and asked if this cup is one that he must drink, this is what he saw. This is what he knew. He knew the wickedness of man's heart. And he knew he must bear this. He knew he must be made to be this. He knew that he must stand before God as though he was the wicked. And he knew that he must bear his Father's judgment against this evil man of the earth. The man of the earth. God slew him in Christ. As Paul said in Galatians, "I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified. My old man, me, the man in Adam, the man of the earth, I'm crucified with Christ." Were you crucified? Was your old man crucified? Did Christ bear the man of the earth? Your man. You. Your wicked heart. Did he bear your sins? Was he slain for you? Can you with Paul say, "Knowing this, that my old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin"? Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For Christ did not remain upon the cross, and Christ did not remain under the judgment of God forever, but he drank up the cup of God's wrath to the end, and he rose victorious, having taken away all the judgment and all the wrath, and drunk that cup to the end. He was laid in the grave, and on the third day he rose again. The Lord is risen indeed. The Lord is King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. May no more oppress. Oh, how the man of the earth persecutes those who are born of heaven. How men in this earth persecute the children of God, born of God, those who are brought to look and behold this Saviour who was crucified for them. How they know the hatred and the persecution of the men of the earth. But how they know how that man within wars against the spirit within. How they know the death in the old man Adam. But how they know that at the cross, that old man and that flesh which still reigns within them now has been judged, has been slain, has been crucified because of that King who reigns forever and ever. Why does that King, why does the Lord who is King reign forever and ever? Why? Because at the cross the Son of God was slain but rose again. Because he wrought a victory. Because he took away death. Because he took away sin. Because he slew the man of the earth. Because he confronted the great enemy of God. And he destroyed him. Because he destroyed your enemies. Because he destroyed our enemies, child of God. Because that man of the earth, that flesh has been destroyed. That's why Christ rose. That's why he's victorious today. That's why he's seated on high. And that's why with the Father he reigns forever and ever. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Christ cried upon the cross. Because at that hour he was made sin and God must judge the sinner. But having judged it, the Son arose and he ascended and he entered back into his Father's presence, never to be separated again. And God will never stand afar off from his Son. And if you're in his Son, if you've been washed by the blood of the Son, if the Son of God died and rose for you, then God will never, ever stand afar off and never ever hide himself in times of trouble, because all the trouble has been answered. You may feel it in your pathway in this world at times. You may feel as the flesh remains that God is judging you, but he's already judged the flesh. And it's only as you look upon the man of the earth that you will despair. But when you look up, and you look up to the Saviour seated on high with four wounds in his hands and feet and a fifth wound in his side and see the blood, then you will know that God in Christ is never afar off and never hides himself. that he is as near as faith is in your heart. He's as near as the cry of your heart unto him is near. Just look and cry. He's right there. And he hears the cry of the fatherless. He hears the cry of the oppressed. He hears the cry of the poor. He hears your cry, child of God, because his Son has made peace by the blood of his cross. And his Son is risen indeed. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Once because of sin, but now no more. For the Lord is King forever and ever, and his people will reign with the Son in him forever and ever, as they dwell around a throne upon which sits the Lamb of God, who loved them and gave himself for them. He is risen indeed. Amen.